Aguas que están brotando, agua de vida saludable para...
Well, there we are, sounds from around the world, from places of worship. The call to prayer we heard there from Lionsgate in Jerusalem, a Buddhist chant from Kyoto, and church bells in Italy, and then Peruvian acaro singing. They all come from the first ever sound map of the world's sacred spiritual and religious places. Spaces. We can speak to Stuart Folks, who's creator of the Cities and Memory Projects, which maps and documents the sounds of the world. Hi, Stuart. Thanks for joining us.
Hi there.
I think what's really interesting, you know, a couple of those perhaps you didn't recognise the language, or but they really take you to a certain place, and you almost know straight away that, you know, this is a spiritual sound.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, one of the things, so this project aimed to collect, as you've said, as many of the sacred and religious sounds of the world as possible from as many different religions as we could manage from contributors. And one of the things I was thinking would happen would be that it would draw out the differences between the way that different religions use sound. But actually, I found that it drew out more similarities. So as you've quite rightly said there, you know, you can identify, you don't know the language, but you know what you're experiencing there is a prayer or a song of praise or something very spiritual. So the ways in which different religions use sound are actually more similar than they are different.
And I suppose what's interesting is, you know, certainly if you think in this country now, you know, church bells, they're very much in the background. These are sounds that are often there, but actually we don't listen to them properly anymore.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, bells are a particularly fascinating case in point, because if you think about it, in the Middle Ages, they would have been the loudest sound that was known to people, to humans, outside the sounds of battle or an earthquake or something like that. So basically, a bell would be the loudest thing you can hear. And now, one of the things that, you know, we should be concerned about is the fact that a lot of these sounds are in danger of actually disappearing. So I was doing some recording in Amsterdam outside a huge, beautiful church called the Westerkerk. And now you can barely hear the bell. It's just relegated to this tiny kind of tinging sound over the roar of the traffic. So part of what the project's trying to do, and with Cities and Memories, to try and encourage people to listen really closely to the sounds around them and appreciate the beauty in the sound that surrounds them every day, because there's a real danger that some of those sounds might actually start to disappear if we're not too careful about it.
And I suppose some places, like a cathedral, for example, I suppose, you know, silence is a much part of the experience of sound there.
Yes, exactly. I mean, there's a church that's on the sound map in which Elgar's organ is placed, and that used to be the centre of a thriving medieval village, and now it's in a very different place, because the village is just earthworks. There's nothing there, so it's standing alone in a field, and the M50 motorway is right next to it. So if you go inside this stone church, and instead of hearing silence, what you actually hear is cars going down the M50, which is not exactly, you know, the original kind of preserved and cherished sacred space that you'd hope to hear when you go into that place.
And Gareth, you were in Paris, weren't you, this weekend? You were talking about the church bells there.
I was, Stuart. It almost reminded me of, you know, you go on holiday to the Mediterranean and it's warm and the windows are open, you can hear the church bells ringing. Well, the air conditioning in the hotel had broken, so it was boiling, and I opened the window. And at about 8 o'clock in the morning, just from all across the city, you could just hear these bells pealing, and you just thought, wow, it's just such a... Even if you're not particularly religious or spiritual, it's a sound that uplifts you and calms you down at the same time.
Yeah, and there's an awful lot of bells in the Cities of Memory project, and the interesting thing is how distinctive and different they all are, and also the social function that they all fill. So there's a town on the map called Villa del Conte, which is a small town in northern Italy, and there the bells ring three times a day. They ring in the morning, they ring at lunchtime, and they ring, there's something called the Campana della Sera, which is at 9 o'clock. It basically tells everyone to go to bed. And until that's now automated, until recently, my partner's grandfather actually had to cycle to the church three times a day to actually go and manually ring those bells. But anyone that lives in that town could identify that bell over and above any other bell that they could hear instantly. And it's an instant kind of hairs on the back of the neck moment, instant recognition. So the sound of the bell, it marks out your daily life, and actually it becomes kind of the heartbeat of the town. It becomes like a fingerprint for the town. And that's really, really important to life and to actually knitting societies together still.
Nellie and I would probably say, no, this doesn't happen because we work on radio. But do you think, generally speaking, sound gets overlooked?
I think it does, yeah. I mean, I it's easy to say that if someone were to knock down a landmark where you lived, you'd notice it. Or if someone put a block of flats right in the middle of, the view from your house, you would notice that. But if a soundscape starts to disappear, it's almost too late. And by the time it's gone, you're never going to get it back. So there was an anecdote someone was telling me from Amsterdam, where there were the bells ringing every single day in a particular town called Haarlem. And they had to be repaired and renovated. So they were off for a month. And no one really noticed when they disappeared. No one really noticed that the bells had gone. But when they came back, the entire town was talking about it. They were like, oh, I've missed them so much. They're such an incredible part of life. I'm so glad they're back. And that really goes to show that sometimes you may not notice a sound disappear, but then if you do hear it again, you notice actually that played a really important role in my life.
Mm. Stuart, great to talk to you. Thank you. Really interesting. Stuart Fowkes, the creator of Cities and Memory Project. I don't know about you, that the bell to go to bed. I think we need that in our house for my little boy.
That would be...
It would be good.
Very welcome. Well, he'll go to bed. You'll have to do all the chores then once he's there. Well, I shouldn't have mentioned the Mediterranean because I think we're still quite a way off those kind of temperatures, although it is warming up at last. Yes, you, Charles. Yeah.